No, I told her. I've got a responsibility to help you make the right choice. I curled the paper with my fingers and crushed it, then tossed it aside to the floor. She stabbed her fork into a cut of steak, a sharp, vicious gesture. Look, Kim, I said, give it some time. When you're older, when you've had more experience. You aren't so much older than me, Kim said. I shifted uncomfortably in my seat. I've had a lot of training, and I started young. My own ability with magic, far in excess of my years in education, wasn't a subject I wanted to explore. So I tried to shift the direction of the conversation. How's this fall's fundraiser going? It's not, she said. She leaned back wearily in her seat. I'm tired of trying to pry money out of people who save the planet they're poisoning or the animals they're killing. I'm tired of writing letters and doing marches for causes no one believes in anymore. She rubbed at her eyes. I'm just tired. Look, Kim, try to get some rest. And please, please, don't play with that circle. Promise me. She tossed her napkin down, left a few bills on the table, and stood up. Enjoy your meal, Harry, she said. And thanks for nothing. I stood up as well. Kim, I said, wait a minute. But she ignored me. She stalked off toward the door, her skirt swaying along with her long hair. She cut an impressive, statuesque figure. I could feel the anger bubbling off her. One of the ceiling fans shuddered and let out a puff of smoke as she walked under it, then whirled down to a halt. She raced up a short flight of stairs and exited the bar, banging the door shut behind her. People watched her leave, then glanced back at me, speculation on their faces. I sat back down, frustrated. Damn it. Kim was one of the several people I had coached through a difficult period surrounding the discovery of their innate magical talents. It made me feel like crap to withhold information away from her. But she had been playing with fire. I couldn't let her do that. It was my responsibility to help protect her from such things until she knew enough to realize how dangerous they were. To say nothing of what the White Council would think of a non-wizard toying with major summoning circles. The White Council didn't take chances with things like that. They just acted decisively, and they weren't always particular about people's lives and safety when they did it. I had done the right thing. Keeping that kind of information out of Kim's hands had been the right decision. I had been protecting her from danger she couldn't fully appreciate. I had done the right thing. Even if she had trusted me to provide answers for her, as I had in the past when teaching her to contain and control her modest magical talents, even if she had trusted me to show her the answers she needed to be her guide through the darkness, I'd done the right thing. Damn it. My stomach was soured. I didn't want any more of Mac's delicious meal, steak or no steak. I didn't feel like I'd earned it. I was sipping ale and thinking dark thoughts when the door opened again. I didn't look up. Occupied as I was with brooding, a famous pastime of wizards everywhere, and then a shadow fell over me. Sitting there pouting, Murphy said. She bent over and absently picked up the wadded scrap of paper I had tossed aside earlier, tucking it in tidily to her coat pocket rather than letting it lie about as clutter on the floor. That's not much like you, Harry. I glanced up at Murphy. I didn't have far to look. Karen Murphy wasn't much more than 5 feet tall. She had gotten her golden hair cut, from shoulder length to something far shorter, and a little longer in front than in back. It was a punky sort of look, and very appealing with her blue eyes and upturned nose. She was dressed for weather in what must have been her at-home clothes. Dark jeans, a flannel shirt, hiking boots, and a heavy woodsman's jacket. She was wearing her badge on her belt. Murphy was extremely cute for a grown adult who also held a black belt in Aikido and had several marksmanship awards from the Chicago PD. She was a real professional, one who had fought and clawed her way up the ranks to become full lieutenant. She'd made enemies along the way, and one of them had seen to it that she was put in charge of special investigations soon after. Hello there, Murphy, I told her. I took a swig of ale and said, long time no see. I tried to keep my voice even, but I'm pretty sure she heard the anger in it. Look, Harry, did you read the editorial in the Tribune? The one criticizing you for wasting the city's money, hiring a charlatan psychic named Harry Dresden? I guess you must have, since I haven't heard from you since it came out. She rubbed at the bridge of her nose. I don't have time for this. I ignored her. Not that I blame you. I mean, not many of the good taxpayers of Chicago believe in magic or wizards. Of course, not many of them have seen what you and I have, you know, when we worked together, or when I was saving your life. Her eyes tightened at the edges. I need you. I've got a situation. You need me. We haven't talked for more than a month, and you need me all of a sudden. I've got an office and a telephone and everything, Lieutenant. You don't need to track me down where I'm having dinner. I'll tell the killer to be sure to operate during business hours next time, Murphy said. But I need you to help me find him. I straightened my chair, frowning. There's been a murder? Something in my field? Murphy flashed a hard smile at me. I hope you don't have anything more important to do. I felt my jaw grow tense. No, I'm ready. I stood up. Well then, she said, turning and walking away. Shall we go?